Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samuch Ches. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas Sarah Schwartz, Sarah Yehudis Bas Yosef, William Kessler, Binyamin Ben Moshe HaKohen, and also Arnold Herman, Aaron Chaim Ben Tzvi Aryeh. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, as I mentioned yesterday, we're picking up today the Gemara, the famous story of Shlomo HaMelech and Ashmodai. And we pick up on Samuch Ches Omer Aleph. 17 lines down from the top, about a third of the way down already on the daf, with the pasuk that we're quoting from Koheles. Of course, Shlomo HaMelech wrote Koheles. We'll have several psukim from Koheles in today's discussion, as well as one or two from Shir HaShirim. And we begin today's shir with the words from Koheles. Asisi li sharim v'sharos v'sanugos b'nei ha'adam shida v'shidos. This is a esoteric pasuk which we'll now darshan, so I won't translate these words yet. I'll wait till we now darshan each word in the Gemara. So the pasuk starts off and tells us, Osisi li, Shlomo HaMelech says, that I made for myself sharim v'sharos. What are sharim v'sharos? Elu mine zemer. These are various types of musical instruments. Either they are special type of instruments that men play and special type of instruments that women normally play, so that's why it's sharim v'sharos, or others say that there are types of instruments that are masculine and feminine types of instruments with lav davka, that men only play the masculine ones and women only play the feminine ones. In any event, Shlomo HaMelech made these instruments for himself. He also made v'sanugos b'nei adam. That means this is a reference to elu brechos umer chatzos. This is a reference to various types of pools and bathhouses that he made for himself. Rashi tells us that brechos were lirchots behem bitzonin. He would go and bathe in them in the hot weather in order to cool off. And likewise, in the cold weather, he would go and have hot springs in order to go and warm himself up. Okay, that's the tanugos bnei adam. It's a reference to brechos umerchatzos. Then he also made shida vishidos. So Rashi explains that shida vishidosim is shade zohar vishade nekeva. He made male and female shadim. That, in other words, he captured male and female shadim, as we'll see from the story. So the Gemara says hacha over here in Bavel. Rashi tells us hacha means here in Bavel. So he says, Targimu shida v'shiritin. It's like I just said, that he took and captured male and female shadim. In Ma'arav, in Eretz Yisrael, Amrei, that he made shirita. Shirita, Rashi tells us, is shada, is an agola. It's a wagon, lemerkevis noshim v'sorim. That's used for very fancy, important women and officers. So he made these items as well, or he captured these items as well. And the Gemara will discuss a little bit more about the Shidos. Now, the Ben Yoyada, who we'll see that the name Ben Yoyada is actually one of the generals of Shlomo HaMelech, who's very much involved in the story of Ashmodai, and his name was Ben Yehoyada. And we'll have commentaries, I've mentioned many times, the famous commentary of the Ben Yishchai, the great Yossi Shalom from Baghdad, who was a fantastically great posek in the Sephardi community. He's their quote, Chavetz Chaim, his sefer, Ben Yishchai, basically is like a mini Shulchan Aruch. He goes through the parashos every week and discusses important halachic sugyas from each parasha, and he has written many, many, many svarim, including his famous sefer on many of the agaditas of the Gemara, the sefer Ben Yoyada, and it's named after Binayahu, Ben Yoyada, the general of Shlomo that we'll read about here soon. And he says many fascinating ideas from Kabbalah, and one of the things he brings down over here is that in Eretz Yisrael, they call this a shirita. This was some sort of an agala, so he says it was actually a Shlomo Melech in his great chachma was able to go and have a horseless chariot, and that it was able to move on its own like a car, and that's the shidita that we're referring to over here. We have similar ideas elsewhere where there are some very unusual interpretations, for example, with the Tower of Bavel, with Migdal Bavel. So how are they ever going to reach Shemayim? They build a tower up to Shemayim. That doesn't seem possible. So there is an opinion that suggests that they were going to put some sort of a spaceship on the top of the Tower of Bavel. They had to build it high enough to get it out of the gravitational pull of the earth, and then they would be able to have some sort of a flying machine that would be able to go go and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, we have some very unusual interpretations. This whole Gemara we're going to discuss over here is not to be taken literally. It's a fascinating Gemara, as we'll now read the story of Ashmodai and the way that Shlomo HaMelech captured him in order to get the Shamir, in order to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So let us begin. Amar Yochanan. Yochanan says, Shlosh meyos mine shedim hayu b'shichin. There were 300 different types of shedim in b'shichin, is the girsa that we have. Rashi has bei shichin, which means in a certain place, b'osu makom. Yochanan says, The Shida Atzma, and Yodia Mahi. But the Shida itself, I don't know what that is. Then Rashi explains Mahi, in Dibur Masa Mahi, Ma Dumusa, what it looks like, Umativa, what its nature is. And then he adds, Vyesh Omim, Shida Atzma was Rosh Kulan V'Imon, that this was the queen of the demons, the Ein Yodea Mahi. And Rav Yochanan was saying, he doesn't know what this Shida is. In any event, Amar, we just said, Hocha Targimu, in Babel, they explained that this was Shida Vishirte. The Shlomo Melech took over here men and women demons, the Shadim. Now, Shida Vishiritin, Lamai Iboile, why did Shlomo Melech want to go and capture these male and female demons? And that leads us into the story. Because the Pasuk says, Vabayis Bibonoso Evan Shlema Masa Nivna. It's a pasuk from Melachim Aleph, where Shlomo HaMelech was zocha to build the first Beis HaMikdash, but he had to do it from stones without using metal. Now, technically, only the Mizbeach couldn't be used by metal, but they basically learned out that if you shouldn't build the Mizbeach by cutting it with metal, so then the rest of the Beis HaMikdash would try to also build without using metal implements. Now, how are you going to go and cut stone and bring stones to the Beis HaMikdash without using metal implements? So they were in a quandary. So Amalul Rabbanu, so Shlomo Melech said to the Chazal, to the rabbis of that time, Hey Chiyavit, what are we supposed to do over here in order to go and build the Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi says, Beli Klei Barzel, without using any metal implements? So how can we make all the appropriate size stones for the Beis HaMikdash? So therefore, Amalul, the rabbi said to him, you know what? We have a similar story by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ika Shemira. There is the famous Shamir, and Rashi points out this is a Birya Mishesh Mebreish. This was a special creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made on Erev Shabbos during the Sheshes Mebreishes. The Ein Kol Davar Kasha Yochel Lamon Mipanim. It has the ability to cut through anything. There is nothing, even the hardest diamonds, its Shamir is able to go and cut through. Now, why did Moshe Rabbeinu need this? Because the Icy Moshe Liavne Eifod, when Moshe had to go engrave upon the Avne Eifod, the stones that were worn on the shoulder of the Kohen Gadol in his garments, so he had to write words on the Eifod, and he wouldn't be able to do this by using a metal implement. As Rashi says, Labni Eifod, the Minim Masechus Sota, we just had this not that long ago, Avonim Halalu Ein Kosum Aleim Bidyo. You're not allowed to just go and write them with ink. Shenemar Pichusei Kosum, has to be engraved into it. But Ein Masechus Aleim Bizemut, you can't take a chisel or a knife or some sort of metal implement and chisel it out. Shenemar Bimilu Osum, they have to be complete without being Shloyu Chaserus, without missing anything. Klum. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do? So Ella, what he did was Kosev Aleim Bidyo. He would mark on them in ink Umar Lem Shamir Mibachutz, and then he would place the Shamir on the ink, and the Shamir would go Hey Nivkos Beilein, and the Shamir would break it along the lines of the writing, and therefore the stones were able to be broken. The Eifod stones were able to have the engravings on them in the proper way without using metal implements. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. So the Chazal said to Shlomo HaMelech, let's do the same thing over here. We'll get the Shamir and we'll go and cut the stones to the right size and be able to build the base of Mikdash. Amalu, so Shlomo HaMelech said, great idea. Hechi ishtakach, where are we going to find the Shamir? So Amalei, they said, let's go bring icy shido v'shiritin. Let's go bring male and female shadim and kafshinu. Rashi says, kofam b'yisurim, go and torture them, go and press them with yisurim, with suffering, and therefore lo malo hechonhu. And they'll tell us where the Shamir is. He figured that, the Chazal figured that the Shadim would know where the Shamir was. Efshar the Yodei u'magalu loch. As Gemara says, that maybe they'll know and they'll reveal to us where the Shamir is, and then we'll be able to go and capture the Shamir. Now, I say Sheda v'shiritin, so they brought some demons, the male and female demons, kafshinu adade, and Rashi says, lochatzon, loshon michvasho begodim, he pressed them, like a clothing press, and he tried to pressure them in order to go and tell them where the Shamir is. And Armei, they finally said, after they were pressured, anan lo yadino, we don't know. However, maybe Dilma Ashmadai Malka the Shede Yoda, maybe the great Ashmadai, the king of all the Shedim, maybe he would know. So Amalu, so Shlomo Melech says to these male and female demons that he had captured, Hechi Ise, where do I find Ashmadai? So they told him, Amile, the Shedim told him, Ise Betura Plan, he's in a certain mountain. Rashi says Betura Plan means Bahar Ploni, in a certain mountain, that's where he hangs out. At Kariyale Bira, he has dug himself a pit over there, Umayale Maya, and he has a special supply of water over there. Again, many of the Mefarshim go through in detail the significance of some of these ideas. This is a very esoteric Gemara. It's not to be taken literally, and it's beyond the abilities of this year to really go into depth in the limited time that we have. So basically, this is alluding to many deep ideas, and Maya is always a reference to Torah, and therefore there are deep esoteric references over here to the way a person should conduct himself in this world in order to have the best of this world. So he had a special pit of water. So we'll see, even the Shadim, they learned Torah, and they learned in the Rekiah Shel Shamayim, as we'll see in a moment, and on this world as well. So he had a special pit that he filled with water, which he sealed. Umechsai, he covered it up. Bin Tinra, Rashi says, Tinra is an eden, a stone, and v'chasme begush panke, and he sealed it with a chosem. That's gush panke, is his chosamo, and he sealed it to make sure that nobody tampered with his water. V'choyomo, and every day, what would Hashem do? Solik the rakia, he went up to Shemayim, v'gomem hasif to the rakia, and he learned Torah in the base of Edish of Shemayim. The Shadim are somewhat of a cross between physical beings and spiritual beings like the angels. So he went up to the Rekiah Shel Shamayim to learn in the daytime. And then he would go down to earth at night, and he would go study here in the Bati Midrashos here at night. Again, exactly what the Shadim status is something that's beyond the Shir as well. And every day he would go, when he needed to drink water, he would get very thirsty, so he would go and check out Sayer Lugushpanke, means, Rashi says, Bodko Shalonaga Odombo Legalos Boro. He would make sure that nobody tampered with the seal and make sure nobody tampered with his water, and this way his water would be pristine. And then he would open up his the rock on the top so that the seal wasn't damaged, and Umagali Le, he would open up the water of Shasi and drink from it. Umachasi Le, then he would seal it off again, cover it up, Bechosim, and seal it, Bechosim Le, for Ozil. And then he would go back, and he would come back the next day, etc., etc. So that's what the Shade them told Shlomo Melech, that's where you can find Hashem Adai. No, Shadre, then Shlomo Melech sends Lebinyahu ben Yoyada, his great general, Benayahu ben Yoyada. He was the head of the Sanhedrin, and it was a huge Talmud Chacham, and he would be the one that would go capture Hashem Adai. So he sent him with certain protective items. So Yoav le Shushilta the Chokik Alo Hashem. He sent with him a special chain in order to capture Hashem Adai that had the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it, and therefore Hashem Adai would be powerless once he was trapped inside the chains, once he was chained up. And he also gave him the Iskisa. Iskisa is a ring, and he would take this ring and the Chokik Alo Hashem, which also had the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it, to protect him from any spells that Hashem Adai would try to do to him. And in addition, he took Vagavage the Amra, he took Gavage the Amra, these are these pieces of wool, Zike the Chamra, and also for some flasks of wine. And we'll see the purpose of these in a moment as we go through the story. But he was prepared with these things because he knew what he would have to do. And we'll see why we need these balls of wool, these pieces of wool, and why we would need a flask of wine. Nope, he goes off to find the mountain, this mountain where Hashem Adai had put up his well with water that he had dug. So Azal, he finds it, and Kara Beira Mitatoi. And Ben Yoyada goes and digs another pit. Rashi says, Kara Beira Achrina, he goes and digs another pit. Bimored Hahar Lamata Meboro Shel Hashem Adai. He digs a pit that's below the water of Hashem Adai, and then Ushvinhu Lemaya, and he goes and makes a connection between the pit of Hashem Adai and the lower pit that he had dug, and all the water flows out from Hashem Adai's pit into the lower pit that Binayo now had dug. Then Visatminu Begavavei de Amra, the connection between the two pits, he now stuffs up, he plugs up with those pieces of wool, the tufts of wool that he had brought and prepared. So this way, there no longer is a connection between the pit of Hashem Adai and the new pit that Binayo had dug, which all the water was now in. Then Binayo goes, the Korah Bira Meiloi, he goes and digs another pit, which is higher than the pit of Hashem Adai. The first pit was lower, so the water would go flow. Water flows obviously down, so the water would flow from the middle pit of Hashem Adai to the bottom pit that he dug, and then he built a top pit that he then filled up with wine. The Korabira Me'ilai Vishavchinu L'chamra, and he took the flask of wine that he brought and he poured the water into there, and then he made a connection between that and the pit of Hashem Adai. So all the wine now flowed into the pit of Hashem Adai, but from the outside you wouldn't see anything had been done to the pit of Hashem Adai because this is all done through subterranean channels. So the upper pit was the wine was poured into, and it went into the middle pit, which is Hashem Adai's pit, and the water had previously been removed from Hashem Adai's pit to the bottom pit. And now, with all of these different chambers, Utminu, he goes and fills in, Binayo goes and fills in the upper pit that he had dug and the lower pit that he had dug, so Hashem Adai, when he comes there, won't see anything suspicious. And now, the middle pit of Hashem Adai just has wine in it instead of water. And then Solik, then Yoh goes, and Yosef B'Ilona, he goes and hides in a tree that's above this area and waits for Ashbedoi to come. No, Ashbedoi finally comes, ki osa, when Ashbedoi comes, so then, Sairei Lugush Panka, he goes and checks out his seal, again, like we said before, Umatsu Shalin, Rashi says, and he sees that there's nothing wrong with it, so he's not in any way suspicious, because he has no reason to think that something funny is going on over here. So then he opens up his pit to go drink the water, Gaia, and Ashkechei Chamra, he sees that miraculously, the water has been changed into wine. Omer, he says about this, he quotes the pasuk, from Mishlei, also written by Shlomo HaMelech, Kisiv, Leitz Hayayin, Home Shechar, the wine is going to make people, you know, Meshuga, it's going to make them drunk, and it's going to make them not do things appropriately, it's going to turn them into a Leitz, and it's going to turn them into a bamboozled person, and anybody who just spends his time drinking wine is not going to be wise. In other words, I'm going to stay away from this wine. And then he quotes another pasuk. This is the pasuk from Hosea. Tosus points out, but this wasn't written yet. This is well before Hosea, and nevertheless, Tosus says that they knew this. Alpha P, bottom Tosus, Alpha P, Shazer, HaPasuk, Lo Nichtav Adayin, HaYodimbo. They knew about it. Now, the previous Tosus to that tells us an interesting also. Why didn't Shlomo Melech just go ask the Urim V'Tumim? Why do we have to go through this whole process over here to go get Ashbedai, to go get the Shamir? Why didn't they just ask the Urim V'Tumim? So Tosus says in Dibur Maskil Zil Aisi, he says, Kilo Rotsu Lishol B'Urim V'Tumim, Kishi Yecholim Lishol Ayedid Aracher. There was another way to do it. They didn't want to, so to say, bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make him do a nace when there was a regular way to do this. And this is a general way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He doesn't run the world on Nisan. He wants things to occur during the natural flow of things. So that's why Shlomo Melech and the Sanhedrin, they tried this great plot to go get the Shamir rather than just ask the Urim V'Tumim, where is the Shamir? Okay, in any event, Ashbedai says, again, he quotes his pasuk from Hosea telling us that it's not good to drink wine, it's going to turn people away from doing the right thing, and lo ishte, and he doesn't drink the wine. However, Kitzachi, he gets very, very thirsty. He's saying, what was he learning? And he's very, very thirsty. Lo sagyole, he's no longer able to resist. And it says on the side, the lo ishta. So Sashas brings down additional words that aren't in our Gemara that are missing. And he says, he couldn't resist from drinking anymore. And Omer, he said, Ashbedoi said, the wine is there to make people happy. And therefore, he couldn't withhold himself anymore, and ishte, and he goes and drinks the wine, back to the Gemara. So, Rava, he gets drunk, and he falls asleep. Now, Binyol has his opportunity. Nochus, he comes down from the tree, also he comes over to Ashbedoi, and Shada Bei Shushilta, and he throws a chain, which has the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, around the neck of Ashbedoi. As Rashi says, Sogar Hashalshel is Soviet Tzavaro, Shlo Yuchal Rosho Lotzes. He captures him, puts it in a chain around his neck, and Ashbedoi is not able to get out. Sasme, and he closes it around his neck. And Kiisar, when Ashbedoi wakes up from his inebriation, Havakom Mifarzel, he thrashes about. Mishtagea, Rashi says, he's crazy, he's moving about, Misasik Lidaske Menu, trying to get this chain off his neck, but he's unable to do so. And Amalei Ben Yoh says to him, Shmo Demarech Haloch, God is on you, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on you, and you have no Shlita. And that's a message for people. They should realize that we're always under the auspices of HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100% of the time. And a person shouldn't think that this is something that he can ever get away from. In any event, the Ashbedoi is now captured, and they're going to try to find out where the Shamir is. So Kinokit Lei V'Asi, so Ben Yoh brings him back to Yerushalayim, back to Shlomo HaMelech. And there are a number of things that happened on the way. We're just going to read the words now, because the Gemara is going to explain every one of the incidents a little bit later on. So whatever the Gemara doesn't explain, I'll fill it now, but most of it I'll wait till we get to the Gemara to fill it in. So Mata Dikla, they come next to a very high tree, a palm tree, a lofty type of a tree. The Chof Bei Shaje, and Ashbedoi goes and brushes against it. Nischachipo, he moves against it, he scratches himself against it, and the tree falls down. And Shaje, he knocks it down. Now, this is a lofty tree, and as we'll see, the Shadim have power, much more power, against arrogant, lofty things than they do against very lowly things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Shadim in the world in some sort of a way to go and be against the people that are arrogant and not to hurt the people that are humble. Okay. Mortal of Ase, he comes to an important house. Also, he rubs against it and Shadje, and knocks it down as well. Then he comes to the house of a very insignificant house of a poor lady, a widow. Mortal Gabe Kuva is the word that we have. And Rashi says it's a srif katan, kemo kuva de tzaydei, like a little hut on the side. It has the gear so that it's kucha. And he says, Rashi says that this is a kucha srif katan. And this is the more correct gear. So in any event, he comes to this little hut, this hovel, the high armalta of a certain widow, and nafka. And the widow comes out, and we turn to Samaches Amar Aleph, and she begs, please don't destroy my house. I know what you have the potential to do. Ichanan olei. And Rashi says, li moshech may olav shalom. Please be very careful and don't knock down my house. So Ashmedai listens to her. Kofa lekumse mine. He moves his body. As Rashi says, kofa lekumse litzad acher. He twists his body. V'yistalek ovek seifa bin abayis. And he's able to somehow twist away and not rub against the house and knock it down. And isbar be garment. And in doing so, he breaks a bone. He dislocates his shoulder or something like that. And Amar Ashmedai says, Haynu d'sid. This is what the pasuk means. Again, from Mishlei, which Shlomo HaMelech wrote. V'loshon raka. Tishbor Gorim, a soft voice, a pleading voice of this widow, was able to break a bone. As Rashi says, Ayidei Loshad Raka, Shechonana, because this woman spoke to him nicely and begged him, so Ma Norach, she had a nice quiet voice to her, so Nishbara Atzmi, I didn't damage her and I damaged myself. And then again, this is an important lesson for us that you get a lot more with honey than you will with vinegar. So if you talk softly and you talk nicely, so then a person will be much more successful in their doings in all of life. Continues, Binyoyo brings Ashvedoi to Yerushalayim. Chazo Samya to have a katoy barucha. On the way there, he sees a blind person that is lost. Katoy barucha. He's lost on the road. He doesn't know how to go. He's a blind person. So what does Ashmedai do? You would think he would go and hurt him. So Aske Liurche. No, he goes and leads him in the right direction. Aske Rashi says, Heleu Lahatoso El Haderech. He led him towards the right way to go on the road. He did him a favor. Now, Chazar Ravya, he saw a drunk, the Havya Kotoy Baurcha, that was also lost on the road. Ravya Rai says a shikar, and Aske Liurche, he also helps him out. El Haderech, he brings him to the road. Now, we'll have to explain momentarily why he did all of these things. Then, furthermore, Chazo Chedvasa, he saw a Chedvasa. Rashi says, a party, a wedding party. The Havu Komadchila, and they will go and dancing to the Kala. As Rashi says, Ro Hachnasas Kala, Shoyu Marbin Besimchmot, very happy occasion. They were bringing in a Kala to her wedding. And Ashmedai, Boch, he cried. Again, we'll explain this momentarily. Shami lahu gavra, the havakarma liushkipa, avili misane lishev shani. He heard a certain person telling a shoemaker, Ashushkupa is a shoemaker, and he asked him to make for him, avili misane, make for me a shoe that would last 7 years. Lishev shani, and ochik, and Ashmedai laughed when he heard this. Again, we'll explain this momentarily what was going on. Finally, Chaza Haukosma, the Havakosim, he saw a sorcerer that was doing various types of black magic, trying to divine certain things, and he laughed at him. So Ochich, he also laughed at him as well. Now, all of these things are very unusual, and the Gemara will explain them all momentarily, so I'll wait till we get to it in order to explain it. Okay, now, finally, Benayo brings Ashmedai to Shlomo HaMelech, but he doesn't bring him in right away. Kimot l'has, when they get to Yerushalayim, they get to the palace of Shlomo HaMelech, lo ailua legabei de Shlomo, they don't bring him into Shlomo HaMelech, at losu yomi, until 3 days go by. No, yom kam armeluhu, the first day Ashmedai is surprised that Shlomo HaMelech has an answer. He knows he was captured to speak to Shlomo HaMelech, and he's surprised that they haven't brought him to him yet. So amailu koboi le malko legabei, why doesn't the king ask for me to become to him? After all, he captured me, so why was he waiting for? So Amulei, so they tell Ashmedai, Anse Mishtoya, he drank too much, Shosa Harbi Rashi says, and therefore he can't meet with you yet. He's drunk. So Ashmedai goes, Shoka Levengta, he goes and takes a brick, and Osiv Achaverta, and puts it on top of another brick. So they were puzzled, didn't know what this was. So Asra Amulei L'Shomo, so they told Shlomo Melech, we told him that you were drunk, too much, and he put a brick on top of another brick. What does that mean? So Amalu, so Shlomo Melech tells his servants, Hachi Amalu, this is what Ashmedai is telling you, Hadur Ashkuye, go give him more to drink, because the cure, if you wish, for having a hangover is to go drink a little bit more. That will make him feel a little bit better. So that's what he told them. Fine. Lemachar, the next day, now it's the second day, Amalu Ashmedai says, Nu, Vamai lo ko boy li malkalik bait. Nu, the king's no longer drunk. Why is the king asking me? So I'm late. So the servants tell him, they make up that Anse Michla, he's eaten too much food, as Rashi says, that he ate too much, and as a result, he can't come. Now, Shaka Levain. So now Ashvedago takes a brick, Mechaverta, from on top of another brick, and Osar, and he puts it on the ground. So they didn't understand this. They go to Shlomo HaMelech, Osu Amalei LeShlomo, this is what Ashvedago did. What does that mean? And Amalei, so he tells the servants, Hochi Amalei, this is what Ashvedago is telling you. If you want me to feel better because I ate too much, Negidu Mine Michle, take away food from me. Rashi says, Moshku Yedechem Melachilo Kimat. Only give him a little bit of food. The treatment for overindulging is to not indulge, to take less. So for wine, a little bit of extra wine will help him if he has a hangover, whereas for overeating, don't give him too much food. Spare him, give him very little food, and then he'll feel better. Okay, now it's the third day. Finally, at the end of the third day, they bring Ashvedai in front of Shlomo HaMelech. Shoko Kanya, Ashvedai takes a Kanya as a reed, Konar Rashi says, Umoshach Arbo Gamide, and he goes and measures out four amos on this reed, Vishodo Kamei, and he throws it in front of the king, in front of Shlomo HaMelech, implying to him, Amalei Michte, when you die, Kimayis Hahu Gavra, but he doesn't say it directly, it's always talking in the third person when you're saying about somebody that you're going to die. So he's saying, when such a person dies, meaning when you die, so Les Lei Bahadein Alma, you won't have in this world, Ela Dalan Gamidi, all you can have is the Dalan Alma, so the Kever. So you have nothing with you once you leave this world. You can't take anything with you. All you have left is the Dalan Alma, so the Kever, where you're going to be buried. So why are you capturing me? Hashto kavshte l'chulei amo. You've captured the entire world. V'lo savata, and you weren't satisfied. Ad kavashta nami l'didi, until you captured me as well. You're the king over the whole world, right? It says that Shlomo reigned over the world, kekipa, like a covering of the entire world. He reigned over the entire world. So you have to reign over me too? What? Ultimately, you're going to be nothing. And that's something very important that he's telling us, that at the end of our lifetimes, all we have left in this world is the Dalai Lamas of our grave. The only thing we can bring with us into the world to come is all the mitzvahs, all the Torah, all the good things that we've done. That's the only thing that comes with us. So your bank account doesn't come with you. So Amalei, so Shlomo HaMelech tells back to Ashvedai, Lo kol bo'ino minoch midi, bo'ino adiv anye leveis hamikdash. I don't want for you anything. I wasn't interested in capturing you. I'm just interested in getting the Shamir from you, that I can build a base of Mikdash properly without having to use iron implements. So, they call me by Lishmir, and therefore I need the Shamir, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to tell me where the Shamir is. Okay, so Ashvedai does know. So, Amalei, he tells Shlomo HaMelech, L'didei L'mosli. In fact, I don't have it given over to me. I'm not entrusted to it. L'sar of the Yam L'mosli. It's been handed over to the Sar of the Yam. I don't know exactly who this refers to, whether this refers to an angel, or whether this refers to some other Shay, but it's given over to the Sar of the Yam. He is the one that has the Shamir, and he very, very carefully controls this because he's afraid that if it's given over to the wrong people, it could cause all sorts of trouble. So he very carefully watches over the Shamir, but there's one creature that he gives it to. The only creature that the Sar Shoyam goes and gives the Shamir to, he trusts with the Shamir, is this Tarnagola Bura. Now, this is a certain type of wild rooster. Rashi tells us in Dibur HaMaaskel, but Kukina, a little bit later down, and he tells us that this bird is the Duchifas, one of the birds that's listed in Parshas Shmini and in Parshas Re'eh as a non-kosher bird, and this is the who? Tarnagola Bra. This is the wild rooster that they're referring to here in this story that has been given the Shlita over the Shamir by the Sar Shoyam. Fine, so that's who has this wild rooster. How are you going to go get this wild rooster? So he says, the Mehemelei Ashuase, that this wild rooster is trusted by the Sar Shoyam because he swore to him that he wouldn't give it to anybody else. He would just use it for whatever was needed, as we'll see in a moment, in order to help grow different areas of the world to be able to be populated and to be able to be cultivated. So that's what this Tarnagola Barad does. No, oh my, Avibay, what exactly does this bird, this duchifas, this wild rooster, what does it need to do with the Shamir? So Matmele Leture, he goes and carries it over to the tops of mountains. The less Behu Yishuv that have no civilization over there. So actually says Shol Zroim, Bilanos, the Spanish shop. They're barren areas because they're on the mountains and nothing is growing over there. So what does he do? He takes the Shamir, Umanach Lo, he places the Shamir, Ashino de Tura, on the literally the tooth of the mountain, meaning at the peak of the mountain, and upokatura, by placing the Shamir there, the Shamir goes and eats into the top of the mountain, as Rashi says, misbaka ma'at kimin choritz, so it makes some sort of like a slit, a ditch in the top of the mountain, and then the bird, this wild rooster, this duchifas, mashlich shom zerahu ilonos, ugdelem ilonos. and it throws in the seeds of the trees, and the trees are able to then sprout over there and grow over there, and ultimately it becomes a civilized area, a cultivated area, and the duchifas, this tarnagol of the brug, goes and eats from the food over there, so that's the benefit that it gets from it while it's cultivating the world. And then, umankit maisei bizrani me'elonei v'sholi hosom. As I read this already in Rashi, now we get to the Gemara, I skipped it in the Gemara. So the bird goes and brings the seeds over there from various trees and throws it in there to have a yishuv. And that goes and populates this mountain with all sorts of vegetation. Okay, fine. And that's why the Gemara says, Bahainu, the metargaminon nagar tura. That's why the duchifas in Parsha Shmini, when Targum Unkel calls it, he calls it the nagar tura. It means the bird that goes and opens up the mountains. It splits open the mountains using the shamir. Okay, now, Bodku Kino de Tarnagolo. So Shlomo Melech goes and sends his servants out to go and find this nest of the Duchifas, the Tarnagolo de Bra, the Isle Bnei, and he looks for one that has young children inside the nest over here. The Chafuye Lekine Zugisa Chivarti. And he puts over it some clear glass. As Rashi says, Zuchuchis Kadesha Yira as Bonav, so the bird will be able to see the little baby chicks inside the nest. However, V'lo Yuchal Likanes Etzlam, because it's blocked by this glass, it's going to frustrate the bird, and he's going to bring the Shamir to open it up. The Yitzorich L'Shamir, L'Baka HaZchuchis, so he get to his little baby chicks and go and feed them. So that's what he did. He also boy lemea v'lo motzi. So when this bird comes back, he tries to get to his baby birds over there, but he can't because the glass is blocking him. So he goes and takes the shamir. Ozel aisei shmira. He goes and gets the shamir from the sar shoyam. V'osvei lave puts the shamir on the glass in order to break through this glass. And then Shlomo's agents, his servants that were standing there by the side, Rama Beikola, Rashi says, Shlucho Shel Shlomo Kola, they yell, and what happens? Shadje Shakle. So the bird is stunned, he drops the shamir, and he runs away. And Shlomo's servants grab the shamir, and they take it back to Shlomo HaMelech, and this, well, meanwhile, the bird is very upset because he made a promise to the Sar Shoyam that he wouldn't give it to human beings. So, Ozel Chanak Nafshe Ashuase, because he made a shvua not to give it over, and he broke his shvua, so the bird, so to say, killed himself. Chanak Nafshe, the Tarnagol, Rashi says, went and killed itself because it didn't fulfill its shvua. So that ends the story in terms of the Shamir itself, and Shlomo HaMelech uses the Shamir to go build the Beis HaMikdash, and everything is fine and dandy from that point of view right now. But the story continues to explain what happened when Binayo brought back Ashvadai. I said we would get back to discuss what happened then, so now we go through it. So Amalei Binayo says to Ashvadai, explain to me, there were some strange things that happened on our way coming to Shlomo HaMelech, what was going on? My time, what was the reasoning? Ki chazite lahu samyo, when you saw the blind person, Davikotoy Burcha, that was lost on the road, you helped him out. Asikte liurche, why did you help him out? You're not known for being nice. You normally don't help people out. So why did you help this guy out? You normally destroy. Here, you help the guy out. He's a blind man, okay? Why did you help him? So Amalei, Sashmudai said, no, because Machrize Alei Berikia, they announced in Shemayim that Tzadik Gomeru, that this person was a Tzadik Gomer. And Umam Diovin Le Nicha, Navshe, Zochel Li Olam Yosei. And anybody who helps this guy out, will they themselves be Zochel to Olam HaEmes? So therefore, I wanted to help him out. I also want the Olam HaEmes, so I wanted to help him out. Okay. Binyoh says, and how come when you saw the drunken guy, the Kotoy Be'urcha, that he was also lost on the road, Asik De'Lurcha, you helped him out too, you set him straight on the path. He certainly wasn't a great tzaddik, he's a drunk, so why did you help him out? So I can understand why he helped the blind guy out, because he already was a great tzaddik, but what about this drunk? He's certainly not a great tzaddik. So Ashmadoy says, 100%. Amalei, Machriz Alei Berikia, it was announced in Shemayim about this drunk, that the Rosh Gomu, that he's a totally wicked person, and therefore I was doing him a disservice. I helped him out, but it actually was negative for him. Because v'avdilei nicha nafshe, I did him a nice thing to set him back on the road. Kihecho delech le'liyama. And this way, he would be rewarded. Whatever good he might have done, he got his reward in this world rather than getting the reward in the world to come. This is another very, very important idea that we learn from over here, that the true reward is in the world to come. And people sometimes are unfortunately not recognizing that. And when things aren't going well for them, they do things that are inappropriate in order to go and have things better in this world. It's a prose door. We're just a corridor to the real world to come. And therefore, everything should be geared towards the world to come and not using up credit, so to say, in this world to make things better in this world at the expense of the world to come. Okay, Then he asked him further, "My time, what was the reasoning? Ki chaziti lau chedvis bochis. Why, when you saw the wedding celebration where they were doing the achdasas kala, did you cry?" So Amalei, so Ashudai said, "You know why? Because a boy neimas gavra begot los in yom. Because I saw." Somehow Ashvadai was privy to certain facts of the future, that this chassan was going to die in 30 days. Now, obviously, they wouldn't have had children, and she would have to wait for Yibam. Now, the chassan only had a baby brother that just had been born. And this young Kala, who Nebuch is now a widow, is also going to have to wait 13 years till this younger brother of her husband, this baby brother of her husband, grows up to become bar mitzvah and can do either Yibam or Chalitza with her. So that's why he cried, because of this terrible situation. As an aside, the famous story with Shlomo HaMelech, where the two women come to him and say one of the women's babies died, and each one claimed that the remaining baby was theirs, so that also was exactly this same type of a story, that the woman who was the daughter-in-law of the other woman, so she wanted the baby to be hers, because if her baby had died, then she would, her husband then had passed away, she would have needed to undergo Yibam. But the only baby that was available, the only child that was left from her husband, only brother that he had left, was this brand new baby that was born. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech realized what her motive was. She wanted to say that the baby was hers and they shouldn't have to wait 13 years for Yibam, exactly like this story over here with Ashmodai. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, "My time oki shmaise lahau gavra d'ama leilush kafa." Why did you, when you heard the person asking the shoemaker that avidly misani to go make for me a pair of shoes l'shev shnin ach for 7 days would last for 7 years achikas, that you laughed at him? What was so funny about that? So Amalei, so Shmuley said, because how shiva yomei leslei? That person doesn't even know he's going to live 7 days. As Rashi says, "Eino batuach lachio shiva yomim." He doesn't even know he's going to live 7 days. Sheba l'mocha yomos. A person may die tomorrow. And this guy's worried about shoes for 7 years. He may not even have 7 days to live. So he laughed at him because, look at human beings. They think they're going to live forever, right? People think that the day at 120 is never going to come. We just assume that we're going to live forever. And he says, you're not. And therefore, you should run your lives with that understanding. Not worry about shoes for 7 years from now. You should worry about what you're doing today. And finally, my timer. Then yo, asked Ashmedai, when you saw, what was the reason? Ki chaziti lahu kasma, when you saw the guy that was a sorcerer, to have a custom that he was trying to divine certain things, achikas, you laughed at him. So Ashmedai tells him, Amalei, he's trying to find out certain secrets, he's trying to find out certain treasures, the Hava Yosef Abe Gazda Malka, and he's right above, right? He's trying to do all of his divinations, he's trying to do all sorts of his black magic, he doesn't even realize he's standing right above a treasure. Rashi says, Abe Gaza means Tachtov, right below him, Haya Otsa Gadol, there was a huge treasure underneath him, Zov, Kesev, Talmud, that gold and silver were hidden over there, and this guy thinks he's such a great sorcerer, Likso, Maidika Tuset, let him go and figure out what's right underneath him, rather than going trying to find out all this various black magic that he's trying to do. He doesn't know anything. And again, this is a reminder to people that we should understand that we don't always really know what's going on. Sometimes it's right in front of our faces, and yet we don't see it. Okay, now we go back to Shlomo HaMelech. Tarche gabei ad debanya lebeis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech keeps Ashmedai there until he finishes building the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe he'll need him for something else, Mistama. Okay, Yom Echad, one day Shlomo HaMelech Hava Koyel Luchudei was sitting alone with Ashmedai. Now, Amalei, he says to Ashmedai, I don't understand the following pasuk. We have a pasuk from Bamidbar where it says, Kisiv Kisoafos Rein Lo. When Bilam goes and describes the future of the Chai Yisrael coming out from Mitzrayim, so he says the pasuk that Kel Motz Yom Mi Mitzrayim, God took us out of Mitzrayim, Kisoafos Rein Lo. And it says as well, what is Kisofos Reim Lo? Means this very high and towering figure of the Re'im, Vamrinan. And it says, Kisofos, that's a reference to Elu Malachi Hashares, and the Re'im, Elu Hashedim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is being praised by being the Lord over the Malachim and as well over the Shedim, the Soafos and the Reim. And Shlomo HaMelech is disturbed. He says, what is so special about the Shedim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, praises himself saying that he's the Lord over the Shedim and he doesn't mention us in the Psukim? As Rashi says, in Dibur Maskil to Soafos Reim Lo, my HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being praised, Hu Yesh Lo Toafos Reimim. They do his bidding for him. So What's so special about them? And he doesn't mention human beings. So Shlomo asks, "My rivu saychu minon?" As Rashi tells us, "Shenishtabach Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chem, and not us." So why are you better than us? That's what Shlomo Melech basically asking Ashmadai, and this gives Ashmadai the opportunity to go and go take over Shlomo Melech. Amalei Ashmadai says, "Shlomo Melech, shekol shushilta minoy. If you take this chain off me, that's the shame of Hashem that's keeping me bound. V'habli is kisach, and you give me the ring that has the shame of Hashem on it that's protecting you from any spells or anything that I can do to you. Then I'll show you v'achviloch. I'll show you rivusoy. Why I'm so much better, why Shadim are so much better than human beings." And somehow, Shlomo Melech, the wisest person of all, falls for this. The person always assumes that they can handle everything. Shlomo Melech made a mistake over here. Shakle l'shoshulta minei, he takes the chain off from his neck, and v'yovle is kisei, and he takes off the ring, and bale. Now, there's two possible interpretations over here, what bale means. So, one interpretation, you can see this on the side of the Gemara in the Masoras Hashas, is Pirush Bala Lishlomo. He swallowed up Shlomo HaMelech. Or Svira Charis, an alternative opinion is Bala, meaning Upirush Bala Lizaka, that he swallowed up the ring. This ring that was protecting Shlomo HaMelech, he swallowed it up. In any event, he then goes and takes Shlomo HaMelech, now that he's free, he's in his full power, he's not under constraints anymore. He puts one of his wings up in Shamayim, one of his wings down on this earth. In other words, he's showing his immense power and shlita. And Paske Rashi tells us, means Dochehu, he pushed him, he threw him, Arba Meya Parsi, he threw him outside of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is described as being 400 Parsa, so he threw him out of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. At that moment in time, when Shlomo Melech is thrown away, basically Shlomo Melech brings the pasuk from Kohelet, very beginning of Kohelet, where he says, "My Yisroel li'adam b'chol v'lo." What benefit is to man that does all his work? Shamol tachas ha'shomesh. All his hard work, it's for naught. And Shlomo Melech realized that here he was Shlomo Melech, the king over everybody, and now he's nothing. He's a pauper. He's thrown out of his kingdom, and nobody even knows who he is. V'zeh yochelki mikol v'lo. Further in Kohelet, it says, "This is my reward for everything that I did. This is my portion mikol v'lo." What does it mean? Vizeh hayochelki, my vizeh. So machlokus Rabu Shmuel. One said chamamar maklo. All he has left is his makel. The chadamar gundo. The other one said all he has left is his cloak. That's what gundo means. Levusho, Rashi tells us. However, he brings down from Rav Hai Gon ubiviure taharos to Rav Hai. He brings down Reisi that kodo mikido shocheres. It's a flask of earthenware. Lishdos mayim. So it's a cup, not a cloak. Okay. In other words, all he has left is a very, very limited amount. He was once the ruler of the entire world, of everything, was unbelievably wealthy, and now all he has left is his stick and his cloak. Okay. Now, Hoy Mechazal Psochem Shlomo Melech has nothing, so he goes door to door begging for food. Kol Hecha de Matar, whenever we come to a door, Amma, he would say, "Ani Koheles, Hayisi Melech Hayisov Yishloim. I'm Shlomo Melech, I'm Koheles. I'm the former king of all of Israel, of Yerushalayim." But nobody believed him. He finally comes to the Sanhedrin. Kimot Gabi Sanhedrin, and he tells him over and over and over and over again, "I'm Shlomo HaMelech, I'm Koheles." So I'm Rabban. Rabban said, this is not the way a crazy person normally asks. A crazy person will change his story constantly. He doesn't keep with the same story over and over and over and over again. So he said, "Michte, let's check this out," the Sanhedrin said. "Shote bechada milsel osarech." It's unusual for a shote to constantly harp on one item and one item alone. So maybe he's telling us the truth. My high, what's going on over here? Maybe he really is Shlomo HaMelech. So they said, they go call the head of the Sanhedrin, Bin Yoyada, and they asked him, "Has Shlomo HaMelech asked to see you recently? Shlomo HaMelech asked for a sitting down with you?" So no. Bin Yoyada said, "No, Shlomo HaMelech has not asked to see me." Mistama, Bin Yoyada recognized Ashmadai and would recognize that it wasn't Shlomo HaMelech and that it was Ashmadai. So therefore, Ashmadai didn't ask to have an audience with Bin Yoyada. So, Shalchulu l'mal kibasa, they sent to the harem, they sent to all the queens. Shlomo HaMelech had married 1,000 women, so they sent to the queens. Ka'asi malkul l'gabayichu, has the king asked you to come and visit him? In other words, to have tashmish with him. So, Shalchulu, we have been asked many times. Shalchulu, so they sent another message to all the queens. Bidku b'kari, did you check out to see if this is really Shlomo HaMelech? In other words, did you look to see if his feet are normal human feet, or, as I mentioned earlier in a previous shiur, that the feet of the Shadim have like three fingers on them, three toes like a bird. So they don't have the normal five fingers of a human being, but they have feet like a bird, with claws like a bird. So did you look at his feet to see if it's Shlomo or if it's a shade? Ashmadai. So Shalchulu, they said, it's really strange. But Muke Kosi, he always comes to us now wearing socks. As Rashi says, Eino bo lishkav yachav. He doesn't come to bed with barefoot. Ella ban pilos. He wears socks. So that's also very unusual. And not only that, he does other unusual things. He asks for us to have relations with him when we're in Nida. Now, of course, you can't have relations with a Nida. And Shlomo Melech was a huge Talmid Chacham, a huge tzaddik. So that was very strange behavior. And not only that, he wants to have relations with his own mother, Basheva. So that's extremely unusual. And the Sanhedrin, the rabbis, they understood that, in fact, that Shlomo Melech had been deposed, and this was Ashmadai. So Asyul Shlomo, they bring in this person who claims Shlomo Melech. V'havulei iskusa. They go bring him another ring that has the Shem of Hashem on it to protect him. V'shul shulta the chokuk leishem, and a chain that he can go capture Ashmadai has the Shem of Hashem on it, and he goes in to confront Ashmadai. Ki ayel chazi parach. So Ashmadai sees him and he quickly runs away in terror because he doesn't want to be captured again by Shlomo Melech. And the Gemara finishes and says, nevertheless, even though Ashmadai left and Shlomo has returned, Shlomo Melech is terrified of Ashmadai the rest of his life. And with this we can understand the pasuk Vayinu Dichsiv in Shir HaShirim, which again, of course, Shlomo Melech wrote, Hinei mitaso shel Shlomo, the bed of Shlomo, shishim gibarim saviv lo migibari Yisrael, that there were 60 mighty warriors that were sitting around his bed and surrounding him, kulam, all of them, achuzei cherev, all holding the sword, mehum de muhammad, very knowledgeable in battle techniques, and ish chaba yerecho, each of them had a sword at the ready, at his on his belt, on his yerech, on his thigh, mipacha belils, because of Shlomo Melech's fear that Ashmadai would come back and go and attack him. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, Rabu Shmuel, another machlos between Rabu Shmuel, chad amar melech vehedyo. One opinion, we don't know, is Rabbi Shmuel said that Shlomo Melech was originally king, and then he became a hedjo. He became a regular common person and did not become the king again. Now, this doesn't mean that he didn't become the king again at all. It means that he didn't become the king in the same level that he was previously. So Rashi brings down over here, Hayo Shlomo lo chazar shuv l'malchuso, and it says on the sign, so it says, ke'ein malchus rishona. Shemolach al Yodim brings up for the Marshal that he didn't ever return to the same glory that he had. Of course, he did become the king again. Nobody doubts that. But one opinion, either Rabbi Shmuel says that he didn't have the full level of Belucha that he had previously. And the other one said, V'chadamar melech v'hedjot, but then umelech, that he did become again the full-fledged king that he was previously. This concludes the famous story of Shlomo Melech, Ashmadai, Ben Ayyub, Ben Yoyada, and the capturing of the Shamir. And again, it's an extremely deep story. It's not to be taken literally. And there are tremendous lessons from here. We've tried to touch upon some of them, but obviously can't explore this in any depth in a Daf Yomi type of a setting. But certainly encourage people to go read the Ben Yoyada on this commentary on the story over here, as well as many other the Mefarshim of Agadita, to get a much deeper understanding of what is going on. With this, we conclude today's share.